Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. You know, there are a few periods in Wisconsin sports history, I think, that would rival the years that Vince Lombardi led the Green Bay Packers. And those years are behind us, obviously, at this point. Some individuals are very much alive in our memories. And a guy who, you know, I watched as a young man and really revered was Willie Davis. Willie Davis played for the Packers. He is a former, obviously, he's a businessman. He played for the Packers. He played for the Cleveland Browns as well. And he was ranked by Sporting News as one of the top 100 greatest football players. A very classy individual. I always loved hearing his after the game comments. Loved hearing him on the air when he was doing some broadcasting of his own. Very thoughtful person. And his autobiography is out now. It's called Closing the Gap. Let me say it exactly. Closing the Gap, Lombardi, the Packers Dynasty, and the Pursuit of Excellence. And there's a foreword by Bart Starr in the book. You may have some questions for him. Were you a fan of Willie Davis during the time he was a Packer? What memories do you have of seeing him play? One of the things I like about this book a lot is what happened after he was finished with the Packer. What happened before was kind of interesting to me as well, but also what he did after he retired from the Packers is a great story in and of itself, and of course it's included in Closing the Gap. Questions for Willie Davis, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there. Willie Davis with us by phone. Willie Davis, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. As I listen to your comments, I almost felt reinvented in a sense.
Well, I tell you what, you were a guy that a lot of people here in Wisconsin revered for not only your skill as a player, but how your approach to the game. You were a gentleman of the game, and that came through.
You know, that's very important to me to hear that, because I truly wanted to give something back to the game that had been so great to me, and I guess that's probably had as much to do with deciding finally to do something in writing the book, The Individual. By the way, Jim Modica, the guy that collaborated with me, he is a Wisconsin person.
Ah, yeah. Well, it took apparently it took a little bit of cajoling to get you to write this book.
Well, no question. I think there were a couple of things. Number one, I had really been pretty busy because along with my own little enterprise, I was serving on the board of about a dozen publicly traded companies over a period of time. Not all at once, let me explain that. But it was really after I kind of retired from some of those boards that I found myself with enough time, frankly, that I felt comfortable trying to do anything.
You've written a fascinating book. I finished it about a week or so ago and really enjoyed it. And I think for those of listening in, let's talk about that. But why did you call it first? Why did you title it Closing the Gap? I think people would be interested in knowing that.
Well, you know, that's interesting because I have had that question asked before. And It really probably was meant to capture kind of all the things that had been a part of my life from childhood right up to today. And that today is in the broadcast and radio business out in California, and actually a couple stations in Milwaukee. So closing the gap was kind of going from that very early childhood all the way to, as I say, where I find myself today.
Well, going back, your parents were sharecroppers.
Absolutely, they were sharecroppers, and as I wrote in the book, probably one of the most interesting things occurred in my life when they were trying to escape, and we were literally, my mother and my dad had planned to meet at a certain place, and of course we literally was carrying all we probably had managed to collect and gather, and which was not a lot. In fact, you could imagine it's not a lot. My mother was running through the woods with me in one arm and a few other things that she could carry in the other. And it was a scary time then, and it's been interesting because as I've thought about that, it never quite loses the scariness of what happens at a time like that.
Well, and it's amazing that in our lifetime, to think back there, that you and your parents actually had to steal away and run through the woods in the dead of night to escape the situation you were in. It's just almost unbelievable to a lot of people, I would bet.
Yeah, you know, it was so interesting because sharecropping was a pretty common thing in the South. This was in Louisiana, and I can say that we were probably one among a dozen families at this one site, and the memory and the events of that whole occasion, they linger. They don't go away. I still, as best I can, you know, as a probably, I'd say, 6-year-old kid, I mean, what you remember almost, you remember the excitement that's really displayed by my mother.
Yeah.
And it was scary.
Yeah. Dave in Deerfield has a comment or question. Hi, Dave. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Willie. And hi, Larry. I was just reading your book, too, and recently finished it maybe a day or two ago. Last Saturday night, after watching the Packers, I went back to my bedroom and started reading the book. I mean, reading the book, the part of the book that I was in. And it made me feel pretty good to read about the days that you and the rest of the team, and I just enjoyed your book, and it was kind of a calming influence to read that book that evening. Thanks a lot, Willie. Yeah, bye.
All right. So your book was used as a calming influence, which I can understand, having watched that game Saturday night myself, and I'm sure you did too.
Well, I would have loved to have had something that I could have probably read of some interest, because to me the Packer situation was very disappointing.
Well, let's talk about your early times, your early football times. You were with Coach Eddie Robinson in college.
Absolutely right. I When Coach was on his deathbed down in Ruston, Louisiana, I went down and spent a couple of days with him, and I can't tell you anything that touched me as much in some ways. And I don't know. I guess having witnessed the Coach Lombardi situation and now Eddie Robinson, I was literally a guy that was saying God is good
mm-hmm.
to all of those things in some ways. To me, as far as life, because each one of those individuals mm-hmm. had a very, very important part to play in my life.
Oh, absolutely. Willie Davis, our guest today, author of Closing the Gap, Lombardi, the Packers Dynasty, and the Pursuit of Excellence. And I know one of the things that Coach Eddie Robinson talked about, one of the lessons learned under him was it's okay to be obsessed with what you love to do. And I want to talk with Willie Davis about what that means to him after we take a quick look at the news, weather, and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. So stay with us. There are very few periods in Wisconsin sports history that will rival the years that Vince Lombardi led the Green Bay Packers. I'm pretty sure you might agree with me on that. And obviously those years are behind us, but there are some individuals who still stand out from that time period. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Willie Davis is not only one of the finest defensive ends of all time, he still inspires people young and old with what he's done with not only with his football, but after his football career ended and how he continued to overcome obstacles. You may have some favorite memories of Willie Davis. Well, he's with us by phone today. And you can join in, talk to him, and ask your questions or make your comments at 1-800-642-1234. Or go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, post a question there. Click like while you're there. We'll send you regular updates on upcoming show topics. Back after the news. There are people who make an impression, and then there are legends, and the legends are few and far between. But today we're fortunate to have one joining us. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Willie Davis, a businessman, former NFL football star who played with the Cleveland Browns first and then the Green Bay Packers. He was ranked by Sporting News as one of the top 100 greatest football players. He's also the author of the book we're talking about. It's in his autobiography. It's called Closing the Gap, Lombardi, the Packers Dynasty, and the Pursuit of Excellence. And again, Willie, it's really a pleasure to have you with us and be able to talk with you today.
Hey, it's my pleasure, frankly. Anytime I have a chance to be involved in anything in Wisconsin that's good, I'm happy.
Well, Eddie Robinson, Coach, had a big influence on you, and one of the lessons you learned under him was it's okay to be obsessed with what you love to do. What does that mean for you?
Well, if you knew Eddie Robinson, you would know right away what it means. I mean, I tell you, at that time in our country, every African-American person of color, in particular, they were not going around talking about how great America was, but, you'd go to an event, wherever, and that was the first thing out of Eddie's mouth, how great it was to be an American. And almost to the point where people said, I remember once a person asked me, is he really serious? I said, absolutely. He believes that to the heart.
He obviously did. And you were pretty obsessed with everything you did.
Well, that's true, and I think that I had I had three coaches along the way, although Paul Brown was probably, it was Vince Lombardi, Eddie Robinson, and probably Paul Brown. They were three coaches, and I would truly say I learned something, and I was grateful for every opportunity I ever had to be coached or to play for those individuals. I just say that the Packer and Lombardi experience at Green Bay impacts my life today.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, you know, it's really interesting. You started playing for Cleveland, and I was thinking about how you went from Cleveland to Green Bay, and I thought, boy, things don't work quite that way anymore in the National Football League, do they?
No. There's a whole different... the system kind of remains with some semblance of it, but it's so different that I can't imagine that I would have gone through the process I did and end up with the feelings that I have, other than I had people that endeared me to the process.
Well, Vince Lombardi, didn't he call you and I'm trying to remember from the book, didn't he call you and try and talk you into coming to Green Bay?
Oh, yeah. After they made the trade, I was very unsure I wanted to go to Green Bay because, you know, it was one of those things where Paul Brown, when he wanted to kind of say something pretty cutting or cunning in some ways, you know, he would say, you know, well, if you don't pick it up or if you don't get it done here, we can always send you to Green Bay. And he said, the Siberia football.
Well, well, it was at the time, wasn't it?
It was indeed. At that time, the Packers had gone through a long streak where they had not. In fact, I think the year before Coach Lombardi went there, they only won one game. And it was a pretty bad situation. Even when I went there, you could just sense what was coming together from the past. And, you know, that included some players that truly that they had drafted, they thought probably was going to ultimately make the difference. And fortunately, what you know, 2 years later, and good things are starting to happen to us.
That is for sure. Rod in Weyerhaeuser has a comment. Rod, yes. Hi, thank you for calling.
Thank you for the call. I just wanted to say thank you, Willie, for playing a major part in making the Packers great, and also aside from football, just one of the few that make life worth living. Thank you. That's all I have to say. Bye.
Thank you.
Well, that is very cool. You know, Coach Lombardi, and I've this comes through in your book. He instilled a kind of a feeling among his players that I think worked not only on the football field but after you were done with football as well.
No question. That's why I say it today, and I've heard, in essence, the same thing from other players, that there's almost not a day that goes by that in some ways Coach Lombardi doesn't impact our lives.
Yeah, and how so? Well, how did it, and in what ways?
Well, you know, I tell you, I remember almost if it was yesterday where he said, "How you play this game, how you conduct yourself here, is an indication in some ways of how, or reflection of how you live the rest of your life. And I remember one day in particular, he said, don't think that you don't care, you don't get things done here and stuff like that, and you're going to walk out into the rest of your life and all at once, it's going to be interesting or different. He says, I can tell you right now how you conduct yourself, how you get things done here will impact the rest of your life. And boy, is that ever true.
Yeah. And at that time, the time you were playing, you were not making millions of dollars.
Boy, is that ever true.
I mean, we're into the thousands of dollars, not the millions of dollars, for sure.
Yeah, and the low end of the thousands.
Oh, boy. But in some ways, for you, that that had a good impact. In some ways, it really had an impact on you, because it meant that you... your goal was always to be in business anyway, but you needed to get out there and work in the off season and a little bit during the season in order to just to keep you going and keep the family going.
Yeah, no, that's what you look at today and you say it's so different. Guys actually make enough money today where they can live year round on football when. Guys in my era, when we were playing, you typically had to have a second job, and you kind of accepted that it was part of being a professional football player and also surviving after.
and you combined, and you decided you wanted to be in business. So not only were you playing, but you and working, but you also went to school.
Absolutely, I did. And I went back to the University of Chicago, got an MBA in business, and I really felt that I didn't want to take any chances on being out of football and not having a chance to make a contribution to somebody, maybe in a job situation. And lo and behold, all those things I worked for or looked forward to, they have basically happened in my life.
Yeah. You know, as you think back about the your Lombardi or your football years, are there some specific games or instances, parts of games that stand out for you that you'd like to talk about?
Well, it was really interesting because, as we said earlier, the Packers had gone through a long period of not winning. And, you know, the second year, 61 in particular, we're playing the New York Giants in the first championship game forever, but the way it seemed at Green Bay, I guess, to the people. And it was almost unbelievable seeing how the people appreciated that. And you couldn't help but get caught up in it.
And for you, going there, you were really, as I think about, one of the first black leaders of a football. Well, first, one of the, you know, the way Coach Lombardi approached the team, there was nobody. It didn't matter what your skin color was, or you know what your opinions were on a lot of things. Everybody got treated the same.
That is very true. And it's no question that Jerry Kramer, for instance, and I was, as far as we could determine at the time, we were the first integrated couple in the rooming situations, and I don't think we we thought anything about it necessarily until we started to get the feedback. Then it made us realize this has been very special. And I can tell you, even when I was made defensive captain at Green Bay at that time, clearly it was the first time that we had had a black player as a captain or co-captain in Green Bay.
Yeah, amazing. Dan and Phelps, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. Hey, I was just out of school in Green Bay back in the 60s, and we couldn't get a sniff of a Packer ticket to save our soul, but we ended up getting some given to us, me and a pal of mine, and you guys were playing the Minnesota Vikings. Fran Tarkenton was quarterback, and he had one of those plays where he practically ran back and forth from sideline to sideline and then heaved the ball for a completion. And Mr. Lombardi, I couldn't hear what Mr. Lombardi said as some big tackle or end came running off the field, but that guy says, "Hey, I got the inside. Who's got the outside? Was that you?"
Hey, I can barely remember. But I can tell you, you know, no one escaped Lombardi's wrath. I don't care what happened when. And it just seemed like the Vikings, in some ways, could always, with Fran talking and running all over. In fact, I saw Fran a couple of years after I retired, and I said, "Fran, you know, I kind of went through my time in Green Bay saying that if I ever caught you, I was going to do something bad to you." Please, he looked at me. He said, "But you never caught me." I said, "Well, I don't know. I didn't catch you enough, let me say that."
Dan, thank you for calling. That was a great call. You can join in, too, by the way. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Maybe you have a memory of a game that you wanted to share or of watching Willie play. Or just have other questions about how he wound up in business. 1-800-642-1234. Yeah, and I don't know. I forget who it was who said he treated everybody the same. He treated us all like dogs.
Yeah, that was Henry Jordan. I never will forget that. In fact, I was at this banquet where he met. Where he said that, "Well, Coach Lombardi is very fair. He treats us all just like dogs." and it was really, it was so interesting because you could have a person like Henry Jordan say that. And I had played a year with Henry over at Cleveland before I came over to Green Bay. And I will tell you, we talked several times. It was no comparison whatever. The atmosphere and everything in dealing with Cleveland versus Green Bay was like night and day. And I tell you, I don't think, I mean, on every team there are probably a few that you don't get it. But I can tell you right now, there was not anyone, for the most part, that I knew at Green Bay that didn't appreciate and didn't like how Coach Lombardi had coached us.
Yeah, yeah, I bet you're right on that. Robert in Sheboygan, thanks for calling. Hi.
Well, hi. I never thought and dreamed I'd be talking to Willie Davis. Mr. Davis, I watched you in the 60s. I watched you in the 70s. I remember seeing you guys in the Ice Bowl. I was on about the 35-yard line on the visitor's side, which was interesting because we had a couple guys from Milwaukee always yelling at the visitors. But I want to say two things. Run to win, baby. And also, I think if anybody knows about the full quote of winning's not everything, it's the only thing, there's some things that are taken out of context or not included. I remember reading Jerry's books, and that was, I think it was either you or Will or Willie Wood said, boy, this hot weather out here in the spring and the two-a-days, what's this all about? Is it? And Coach said,
yeah, well, it's something like that. You do a nice job, Willie, in your book of explaining that quote, because as my recollection is, it's something that Coach Lombardi said after you had won the championship, and he said something about, how does this feel?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. That's why I guess with us, the players, we never had a problem with winning was the only thing, because we had lost a game in Milwaukee, and it was holy hell. And we got back to Green Bay, and we tried to almost kill somebody in a sporting way. And it was really interesting because all at once when Coach said winning is the only thing, he was really describing that created the environment and attitude versus losing. And even though this thing got played around to the point at the end of the day, Coach Lombardi was concerned about it because people were being critical of him. But I don't think there was ever one of us that I know. I never heard anybody criticize.
Well, I as you wrote in your book, when he said to the team, "How does this feel? This feels really great, doesn't it?" And you know, when you won a championship, and he said, it's the only thing, winning is the only thing that's going to make you feel that way.
Absolutely. And you know what is interesting? It was true then, and it's true today. I mean, I had a very tough Saturday night trying to think about the Packers and the in San Francisco. I mean, there's no way I can. I just can't reconcile with losses very well.
Yeah, I can relate to that, and I know that from your book. We have a lot of callers online. And there's some great stories. I know that are in your book that you've told, but I just in the last minute or so, you got involved from that. You went to in business. You were in a distributorship. Then you got into broadcasting. You owned radio stations. It's been a great life for you.
You know, I have been asked several times if I had a chance, what would I do differently? I can honestly say to you, there's very little, if anything, I would do differently. Life has really, really been good.
It really has been good. And your books, how's your book doing, by the way? Is it selling well?
You know, if someone had told me that this thing would have taken off the way it is, I probably would have doubted it, but you know, it was really interesting. Last week, they had a little squib in the Milwaukee paper that mm-hmm. said that this book had made the top five.
Woo! You know what? And here we are, out of time, Willie. This has been really great, and I wish we had more time to talk. It's been wonderful visiting with you, and I hope we have a chance to do it again. You are a gentleman, a scholar, and a wonderful human being, and it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it. Willie Davis, our guest. Thank you for listening.